Welcome, everyone, to Sunday service here at New Philly, Busan. Let me tell you, I've been traveling for a while. Amina and I left 3 Saturdays ago. So we were gone for 3 Saturdays, 3 weeks, basically. We went to Sydney, went to the Hillsong Conference, which was great. They do things on a level that just, like, blows your mind. The stage, I don't know if you can find it in my Facebook wall, but they created this huge circular, like, screens that floated in the sky. And like, their stages looked amazing. Their singers looked so beautiful. Like, you know, I was saying, like, man, you got to be really attractive to be a Hillsong praise worship leader. They just look amazing. They sing perfectly. And there were a lot of good speakers. I didn't get to see the two that I really wanted to see, Rick Warren and John C. Maxwell, because I was waiting in line for 3 hours. And so Mina got to go in because she was with the baby. She got to see everything. I was sitting outside in the cold for 3 hours to get our registration. But it was good. But there's some really amazing speakers that I got a chance to see. It was a great time. It was my first conference. I think this was Mina's second conference. And I encourage you guys in the future, if you ever have an opportunity to go to Sydney around that time, I encourage you to check out the Hillsong Conference. This is a great time, and it really is. You know, it's really rare for Joseph Prince was there, Judah Smith, who spoke a sermon that blew me away. I've never seen a man communicate in so powerfully and so entertainingly that I was like listening to him like this. I was just so fascinated by every word that was coming out of his mind, and you could tell that every word was like hitting people's hearts. This is the power of a great communicator. It was a great time. But then the highlight of our time in Sydney was really the Sydney retreat. Me and Mina, we were asked to be guest speakers at Sydney. New Philly Sydney is our church plant. They are our third church plant. It was Itaewon, Busan, and then Sydney. And they are an incredible community down over there. There about 66 people came out for the retreat. It was really big. They were praying for 70, and I believe that they almost had, I think on their Sunday service, they almost got 70. And it was a great time. First of all, I want to give props to our worship leader, Pastor Herman. He came out. And I want to... So we raised funds for him to go because, you know, we asked him about last minute. We asked him about 3 weeks before the conference. Like, me and Mina were eating at Shinsegae, and I felt like, oh, Herman's supposed to go. And I told Mina, he's like, yeah, that sounds good. And I felt like this just stirring in my heart, like, yes, he really is supposed to go. I think I told this story before, and I asked him, and he said no. And I was like, oh, and I was really grieved. And I told Mina, I was like, oh, Mina, I feel discouraged because I felt so clearly from the Lord. And she's like, have faith, my love. And then the very next morning, Herman called us and said, yeah, you know, I think I'm supposed to go. And so we did a fundraiser, a love offering for his ticket to go to Sydney. And his ticket is 1.28. So 1,280,000 won. And the money that came, 180,000 won and Quebec won. So it was like $1,280.90. And basically, what came in was 1,280. So you guys are in your giving, we're off by 90 cents. So me and Mina, we gave the 90 cents. We're waiting. We're like, oh, we'll cover the difference, honey. Don't worry. But I really believe that it was God's divine. Like you could say, it's like God's fingerprints were all on him going. I really felt like he was supposed to go, and we went. And the first night, it was powerful. You know, but I could tell from the worship. Sydney people, if you guys are listening, you know, I don't want you guys to think, oh, you know. But I knew that there was more. Starting with a praise, you know, people were praising. And I was like, yeah, there's more. Yeah, I know there's more. And I could tell Herman was just really pressing in. You could tell he's like, oh, you know. But we could both sense that there needed to be some concrete that we need to break through. And so I preached that night on hunger. But the powerful thing is everybody was so receptive. Like, I never preached that way. I never preached, and people were just like hanging on my every word. And it was the anointing of God. It really was. God's anointing was on me. I preached. It was powerful. Altar call. People were crying. out in the thing, but they weren't coming up. I believe that there was kind of a breaking in that we needed to do. So about, you know, 6-7 people came up for the altar call. It was a great time. But that night, me and Mina and Herman, we got together and we're like, man, we got to pray. And we prayed. We interceded for about an hour. And then we went to bed. And then the next morning, Herman started his worship set. And he did not relent. He just kept going and kept going. And he know how he does. He's like, more, more, there's more. And then we could feel it breaking in the spirit. And all of a sudden, just people were worshiping. And then he did an altar call before the sermon. He does an altar call. He's like, if you want a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, come up. All these people come up. They get blasted. They get touched. People are crying. People are weeping. This is before the sermon. And then now we have about an hour left until lunchtime. Lunch is important to me. And so I was like, and then Mina was supposed to preach. And Mina was like, you know, she was supposed to preach, and it was like we had literally about a 45-minute, like, window for her to preach. And I was like, you know what, honey, I think you should preach on Sunday. I'll just do a short sermon today because I wasn't fully ready with my sermons. I was just going to, you know, make something. And then he's like, no, I want to preach. So she preached on community, covenant community, and it was an amazing sermon. And it really was something that just she, as a son, had stored it in her spirit. She didn't even, like, write up a manuscript because as she was preparing, you know, I'm the choleric. I was like, are you ready for your sermon? She's like, oh, I'll get to it. No, like, you know, I you know, it's, and I was like, did you write anything down? She's like, no, I will. This is like the night before the sermon. So I was getting a little nervous. But then she knocked it out of the park. People were saying, man, it's one of the best sermons that they've heard. And it really was exactly what Sydney needed. It was just the power of covenant community. And just people were just getting really blessed, ministered to. And then that night, I preached on an identity and on shame, and people are coming up, you know, and just getting broken off of shame and regret. People are just crying. I told my testimony. It was really powerful. And then on Sunday morning, we prayed for everybody. You know, it was like, if you did not get prayed for, come up. And people came up. As one girl came up, and she was just on the floor like, ah! God was doing a mighty thing of deliverance on her life. Mina could feel it. She's like, yeah, like God is really delivering her from things. So it was a really powerful time. Some of the testimonies that came up was, there's a guy named Andrew. If you're listening, Andrew, what's up? He was highlighted to me. So I told him, hey, I got a word for you, but I don't have time to give it to you right now. That's all I left it. I said, I got it, because I was in my sermon prep. But I felt like I was supposed to, and I wanted to pray for him that night, but I forgot. But the next day, he came up to me and was like, hey, Pastor Caleb, you told me about the word that you had. Are you ready to give it to me now? And I was like, oh, I was sermon prep. I was like, no, I can't do it right now. I'll give it to you later. He's like, all right. And then finally, God was really stirring me. And I said, yeah, I want to talk to you. I took him downstairs. And then God really gave me a word that he's a carrier of revival. And it just like rung really like brightly on him that a revival was on him. And then I had no idea of his story or anything. And he was like receiving it. He's like, oh, thank you. This is like one of the, I feel so like, oh, and he's just, you know, he's really buff, but he's such a tender guy. And I come to realize, and then the next day we were praying for him. I did a full-time ministry altar call. And right when I said it, I hear him go, ah, in the back. And he starts walking up from the back like this. Ah, really slowly. He just collapses at the altar. And then he's like, oh, I'm sorry, and all this stuff. I pray for him. And come to realize it was only his third Sunday at our church. He comes from a Catholic background. He actually had to lie to his parents to come. But his life was just radically changed. I could sense that, like, God did such a deep work of awakening in his life. That was the theme of the retreat. It was awake. It comes from Psalm 7. And it was just a powerful testimony. Mina did her tongue seminar. And a bunch of people, I think 3 or 4 people got tongues during her seminar. People were getting people had experienced the power of the Holy Spirit for the first time. And it really is. And I don't say this to brag, like, oh, yeah, it was me. I just want to tell you guys how amazing your prayers are. Because you guys, as a community, have been sowing into Sydney for so much. And I talk with Paul. Pastor Paul is our campus pastor in Sydney. And he'll say, like, yeah, like, when I go to Hongdae, and I'll meet them, and they're like, hey, what's up? Yeah, I'm from Sydney. And they're like, yeah, that's great. And it ends there. But then he says that every time he meets somebody from Busan, they're like, yeah, man, we've been praying for your campus every Sunday. And we have. And you guys have been sowing in the seed. And you guys have fasted. You guys fasted before we went. And I want to tell you guys, I felt the power of your prayers. The anointing that we carried did not come. It does not come from us. It doesn't come from me. But it came from the power of the Holy Spirit. And it came from your prayers. As you guys took your place, and as you guys prayed, I believe we saw a mighty revival in Sydney. Let's thank the Lord for that. I also want to thank everyone that supported Herman in finances to go. Man, you guys were godsend. He really had such a powerful impact, you know. And worship was what really, I think, what God was wanting to do was just break the ground in Sydney for worship. And so it really was a powerful thing. Thank you guys. Hope you guys enjoyed that video. It was made by my best friend Diddy. He's one of the pastors in Sydney. Had a great time to catch up with him. It was really, really a sweet time. It really was. And Sydney is beautiful. You guys don't understand how beautiful the city is. Some of you guys, God is calling on you to go on the Melbourne church plant. I want you guys to know, Melbourne, I heard, is more beautiful than Sydney. And I heard that that you guys really have nothing to fear. If God is calling you, and if God is stirring your heart, you know, I encourage you guys to really pray into it and seek the Lord, because, you know, if God sends you, He's going to give you everything that you need. And with Diddy and Hewan, you know, they went literally on the day, like they had their baby, first baby, and then they picked up everything and moved to Sydney. And they were there for a year, and yeah, there were times of difficulty for the whole team. But you see them now, man. They're thriving. And I saw them. I was so blessed. Because I just saw just God's hand upon them. And they were just really thriving. And so I encourage you guys, search your heart. If God's speaking on you from Melbourne, answer God's call. Today, I want to start my sermon. And I want to start with a word that God's really been highlighting in my life these days. He's been really speaking to me. Is the word kingdom. Everybody say kingdom. Now, there's a lot of talk these days on the internet about financial crisis, about Greece. You know, Greece has been coming for a long time. You know, Greece haven't been very fiscally responsible, monetarily wise. And, you know, I remember watching a documentary about 2 years ago, almost 3 years ago, about all these protests in Greece, all these young people protesting, like jamming up ATMs with glue. And, like, you know, doing all these covert protests because of what was happening in Greece. And so, you know, we see them, what's happening in Greece. We see what's happening in China with their stock market. And also with China and the housing bubble. You know that there's whole cities in China that have been built that's added to their gross national product that no one lives in and nobody has purchased. There's whole cities, not apartment buildings, but this is like whole cities that are basically abandoned in China. And they're saying there's a huge, like, a housing bubble, like, enormously bigger than what America had. And when that crashes, you know, it's saying it's going to affect the whole world. There's news about America. All of these financial analysts and well-known economists are saying that there's a economic, like, crisis that's coming. You know, to be aware, to be ready. And when we see what's happening in America with the passing of the legislation for same-sex marriage, you know, that's not only in America, but let me tell you, it sets a precedence for the world. Because I was at the Hillsong Conference, and Brian Houston was saying, yeah, that passed. And he's saying, we're going to feel the reverberation of that here in Australia. Because everybody is, like, listening and seeing what they're doing. You know, and it really is this moral decline over America, over the world, and God is telling us we have to set our mind on kingdom. You know, there's all these talk of end time prophecies, the new world order, and when you take a close look at the history and the past economic circumstances, you know that we're living in a very important time, and we're living in a very important age. And when an end times matter comes up, for us Christians, it's very pivotal that we as a church respond in the right way. When we see these things on the news, when we hear these things, we have to respond in the right way. First, we cannot respond with fear. Okay? If fear grips your heart, Go read the Bible and pray to Jesus. Let me tell you. It should not be a place of fear. It should not be a place of soulless assumptions. There's a lot of people that just make all these assumptions. And it really is coming from the flesh, from the soul. And it doesn't call us for us to be ostriches. You know what ostriches do? What do? They bury their head in the sand. A lot of people, a lot of believers, they do that. They just kind of like, when they hear something, they just kind of remove it from their mind. Let's scrape that away. And they just bury their head in the sand. They're like, oh yeah, no, it's that's going to happen. But, and there is no expectation in their hearts of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You guys have to know, it's not a time, it's not a issue of if, it's an issue of when. And when is Jesus coming back? We must respond with an alert heart and mind, and we have to pray. Jesus tells us, Luke 21:34, but watch yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, that you come upon you, that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Jesus himself telling us, be alert, be awake, and pray. We have to be like the sons of Issachar. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the sons, the men of Issachar who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. So it's like they had understanding, but they also knew what they were supposed to do. We have to not only seek understanding, but also know what we are to do. How we take our stand, what we're supposed to be. It's like teaching football. How many of you guys know football? You guys teach a football play. It's very complex. There are all these different lines. And you ask somebody, you teach them, all right, the right wide receiver goes this way, that way. The running back does this. It's a play option. You go this. You guys block this way. Do you understand? They'll be like, yeah, I understand. Now, what do you do? I don't know. I've been like that. We're like, I know. I play Madden. And I know what the play is supposed to look like. But when it comes to, what do? I don't know. But we have to be like the sons of Issachar. We have to know the times. And we also have to know what we're supposed to do. When Jesus came and he preached, what did he preach? He preached the kingdom of God. He preached the kingdom of heaven. Colossians 1:13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness, the kingdom of darkness, and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. He preached the kingdom. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is near. His kingdom, his rule and reign, we have to understand that we live and exist under kingdom authority. Do you guys understand that you guys are under an authority that is greater than Korea, that goes beyond the United States? We live under kingdom authority. We're members of a kingdom. When we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, we were moved from the kingdom of darkness and we were brought into the kingdom of the Son of God. That's where we stand now. That's where we are right now. And so when we see these things happening, we have to see things from the mindset of the kingdom. We have to see things from the understanding of the kingdom of God. Because there's going to come a time in this world where nations will crumble. Like nations will fall. What we see America is like, wow, they're a superpower. Nations will fall. And what's going to keep us rooted, what's going to keep us grounded, is not our understanding of a nation, but our understanding of a kingdom. And where we are and where we find ourselves in the kingdom. We live by a different code. We live by a different understanding. The wisdom that we live by, the world sees as foolish. You guys know that? The wisdom that we live by, the world sees as foolish. Not only foolish, but the wisdom that we live by. You know what the world's going to start doing? They're going to start hating it. It's happening in America. We're in America, we're no longer the moral majority. We're the moral minority. There's more people in America that think what we think is ridiculous. And it's becoming the standard. They're going to hate how you think. They're going to hate how, like, what you believe in. It's not just like, oh, you know, like, let's let, no. It's already happening. When people take their stand in like biblical foundation, like, this is what I believe, it's not just going to be like, oh, I don't agree with that. They're going to be like, yo, that's wrong. And they're not just going to think that it's foolish. They're going to start to hate who we are. This world will eventually crumble and fall away. What will remain in the kingdom? What will remain is the kingdom. The kingdom gives us right thinking and a right response to what God is going to do on this earth. We have to have the mind of the kingdom. And one of the books I took to Sydney, I actually took one book in the Bible. And I took R.T. Kendall's. Is a book that he wrote about the Sermon on the Mount. Who do you guys know about Sermon on the Mount? Matthew 5, 6, and 7, where Jesus, you know, he gets baptized. He goes around Galilee teaching, and all these people start to, you know who he is and follow him. And then there's a huge crowd that gathers. And he goes up into this mountain with his disciples, and he starts to preach. And it's considered Jesus' one of his longest sermons. It is his longest sermon recorded. And a lot of people, you know, it's one of his most important, like, sermons. It's the most quoted, considered some of the most important words of Jesus. And we get from here, from this sermon, the pillars of our Christian faith. The stories are like salt and light. When you were little, and who's been a Christian for a long time? Okay? You guys know, salt and light, right? Be the salt of the earth, be the light of the world, right? What else? The Beatitudes. The Golden Rule. Do unto others. Love your enemies. The Lord's Prayer. The man who built his house on the sand. There's a song about that, right? You know? Yeah. Talks about fasting, giving, lust, anger, divorce. It's such important words of Christ. And today I want us to read. It's very long, but I want us to turn to Matthew 5. I want us to turn to Matthew 5, and I want us to read this together. I will read two verses, and you guys, as a group, you guys read two verses, okay? Here I'm going to start. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "The poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore,
That's crazy.
You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults, I'm reading more than I should, his brothers will be liable to the council, and whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. Come to terms quickly with your accusers while you are going with him to court, lest your accusers hand you over to judge and the judge to the guard and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that of your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that of your whole body go into hell. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. So that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even tax collectors do the same? Okay. Now, we've read, this is just a small section of the Sermon on the Mount. It's pretty long. It goes from chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. And there's so many teachings of Jesus that we've heard in here. There's a quote by John Stott, and he says, the Sermon on the Mount is probably the best known part of the teachings of Jesus, though arguably it is the least understood, and certainly it is the least obeyed. Now people read the Sermon on the Mount, and many people, they get confused. It says, blessed are those who mourn. It basically says, happy are the people that are sad. If your eye causes you to sin, poke it out. What? If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Throw it away. That's crazy. So call someone a fool and you're going to hell. Sounds a little dramatic, right? Love your enemy. That sounds great on paper, but you know how hard that is. Do you guys know how hard it is? It's not saying just deal with people that annoy you and get on with your day. No. It's saying love people that hate you and the people that you hate. And to be honest with you, I don't think we have enemies here. I don't think that we've been brought into a place where we're just like, yeah, this place is my enemy. This person is my enemy. I really don't. But you know, there is a coming. There's a time that's coming in where God's going to call us to love your enemy. That's like that's very difficult. There's some times where my wife will do something wrong and like just rage boils within me. And I'm supposed to, I love her. She's my wife. And yet it's so hard at times to turn from just my anger and just, you know, like, ah, you know. But Jesus is saying here, love your enemies. The words of Christ do not make sense to the world. But to us who know Christ, who knows the kingdom, it should make perfect sense. Jesus is talking to us in his sermon about kingdom. He's talking about the understanding of the kingdom. How to be kingdom people. What kingdom people look like. And let me tell you, as the days of Christ draws near, because we're closer to it today than we were yesterday, the people that understand the kingdom of God, and not just understand, but know what to do, will be ready, will be prepared. And today I'm going to start a sermon series on a Sermon on the Mount, and I want to give you guys all homework. You guys are like, no, don't give me homework. I want to give you guys homework. I want you to go home today, and for the next, I preach again in 2 weeks. For the next 2 weeks, I want you to go and study Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Meditate on it. Read it. Pray it through. Seek out revelation in it. Because as you read and study and meditate on the words of Christ, you will see the kingdom of God. And as I read and meditate on the words of Christ, I realize one thing. What is telling us to do on the Sermon on the Mount, Chapter 5, you know, 17, he goes on this tangent. He says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. That's like opposite of grace. You guys have to understand, when Jesus said, I have come to fulfill the law that Moses gave, that God gave to Moses, it was like impossible for us to fulfill. Do you guys understand that? The law, because in our fallen state, it's impossible for us to fulfill it. It's like God is in heaven, and Jesus is like, he's giving the law, and Jesus is like, you know, they can't fulfill that, right? And God's like, yeah, I know. But I have to. Why? Because God is perfect. God is holy. He can't give a watered-down version of the law. He can't give a watered-down, it's impossible for him. So the law that he gives has to be perfect. We're imperfect. We can't fulfill it. But what did Jesus come to do? He says he came to fulfill the law. God isn't he's not up in heaven scheming like, oh, I'm going to give him this law. And they're not going to be able to fulfill it. He gives us the law because it's perfect. Because he is perfect. Romans 8, 3 through 4. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son, the likeness of sinful flesh, or for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. My first point, what Jesus is talking about, this righteousness, this life of the kingdom that we're supposed to live, it's impossible for us. Do you guys understand that? It's impossible for us to live this way. It's impossible for us to be this way. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the ones who hunger and thirst for righteousness. The Bible says there's no one that's righteous. Not one. There's no righteousness in us. No, blessed are those who will be persecuted. People are going to hate you. And they're going to revive. They're going to throw all these like crazy lies against you. And then you're going to rejoice. You know, and you think you can do that? That's impossible. A lot of people, we're like, yeah, I can. You know, you can't. And all of the requirements of the law, no matter what we do, however hard we try, there's no way that we can live up to this. That's my first point. It's an impossible task. The Sermon on the Mount is basically impossible. But my second point, it's only possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can only be kingdom-minded, kingdom-focused, live life according to the kingdom. It's only by the Holy Spirit. It's only by His Spirit working in us. Because you know what? There really is no righteousness in us. The only thing righteous in you is Christ Jesus, hope of glory. R.T. Kendall, he says, the theme of Jesus' teachings generally and the Sermon on the Mount particularly is the kingdom of heaven. The theme is also generally Jesus' doctrine on the Holy Spirit. He's basically saying, whatever Jesus is telling you, Jesus says, do this. Live like this. It's impossible. The only way that we're going to fulfill it is by the power of His Spirit. To live as salt and light, that saltiness and that light, it doesn't exist in us. It comes by the Holy Spirit. When people hate you and revile you and speak all kinds of evil and lies against you, rejoice! Only way that you're going to do that is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Only way that you're going to love your enemies, people that hate you, people that despise you, the only way that you're going to truly, from the bottom of your heart, love them, is by the power of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus came, He didn't get rid of the law. He standardized the law. That through Him and the power of the Holy Spirit, we might meet the standard and enter the kingdom of heaven. And you know what? That's how you stand now. If you're a Christian, if you're a believer, you are in the kingdom of heaven. You know, there's a dual existence of the kingdom. It exists now. It also exists in the future. We get part of it now. It's going to be completed in the future. But we got to understand, it's now. You're in the kingdom now. The power to live and to be and to think and to respond and to pray and to encounter God and to seek after God, to be in the right position, to be like ready and prepared. To be kingdom-minded, kingdom-hearted is ready for you now. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see, as end times draws near, things are going to start get all crazy and flip turn upside down. It might happen in our lifetime. It might not. But it might happen in our lifetime. But when it does, what's going to keep us grounded? What's going to keep us rooted? What's going to keep us from seeing God, Jesus Christ, hope of glory, is the power of the Holy Spirit at work in your life. It's the kingdom of God that you are in. Do you find yourself in the kingdom, or are you being swept away by what the world is passing by before you? Are you getting caught up in the worries of this world and what the world thinks is going to happen? Are you standing on kingdom, saying, this is the kingdom of God? This world can fall away. America can crash. The Greece and Europe, the world, new world order, all these things can happen. But are you standing on the kingdom of God? Because this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, that's why He preached the kingdom of heaven. And you know what? That place of the kingdom is to be alert. It's to be aware. And it's to pray. And Jesus tells us here in the Sermon on the Mount, I'm going to preach on this in the future. He teaches us how to pray. What did He say? How are we to pray? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As we draw near, as the things of this world start to fall away, that has to be our mantra. That has to be what resonates from our heart. Your kingdom come, your will be done. I'm in your kingdom, there's more to come. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is the kingdom. And I want to ask you today, are you standing in the kingdom? Are you in the kingdom of God? You might be, but you might not be aware of it. You might not be doing everything that's available for someone that sits in the kingdom. You know what? There's rights that you have to be a part of a kingdom. Rosie, where are you? She's not here. She's from Britain. She has certain rights because she's a part of you know, the British Empire. A long time ago, when you were a part of it, you had rights. You could be a knight. You could be a squire. You know, you had like the nobility. You know, there's rights that come from being part of the kingdom. And we have these rights. We have these abilities. We have the things of the kingdom available for us now. It comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm saying, are you connected to that? Are you encountering that in your life? When you see the news, when you see things happening, are you encountering the kingdom? Yes, the kingdom of God, your kingdom come. And praying, and your heart set on what is happening in the kingdom. Are you focused, and are you in the world? Worried about what the world... We have to be alert and aware, and kingdom-minded, kingdom-focused. Because as the world falls away, what will remain is the kingdom of God. And I want to finish my sermon with what Jesus started his sermon with. And it's with the Beatitudes. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew 5. We're going to read this again. Says, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, that word, when he says they opened his mouth, yeah, we know he opened his mouth. How are you going to speak without opening it? It's basically saying something very important. When he, in Hebrew culture, when they say he opened his mouth, came from the mouth of the Lord, saying this is very important things that are happening. Matthew's saying, when he says he opened his mouth and he taught, he's saying this is very important words. Listen. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You know, Jesus right now, he's teaching about himself. He's not teaching us to be like, you know, like something that you know, he wants us to. He's teaching about himself. He's teaching us to be like him. These aren't rules that he made up for man to be. But this is what he was. He was poor in spirit. He mourned. He was meek. He was hungry and thirsty for righteousness. He was merciful. He was pure in heart. He was a peacemaker. And although everyone around him persecuted him and basically killed him and hung him on a cross, he rejoiced. Because he knew of the kingdom of God. He knew of his kingdom. This is how we are supposed to be. And I'm going to tell you, when you look at these traits, they're not just individual things. There's a progression to this. It's a progression. Where we end up is where we're getting persecuted. And people are saying all these crazy things about us. And we're like, yeah, we rejoice. We're going to get there. But you know where it starts? It starts from brokenness. And then we don't graduate from brokenness and move on. Brokenness is where we start. And we constantly have to be in a place of brokenness. We constantly have to know that we're nothing without God. We're nothing without Jesus. Without Jesus, seriously, we are nothing. That's the brokenness. That's what it is to be poor in spirit, that we know that there's nothing that we can do without Jesus. We can do everything and anything that we can try. We can do all, give all this money and all everything in the world that we could possibly try to create and give to God, and it means nothing. It's like filthy rags to God. Our righteousness doesn't exist. That's the brokenness. And realizing that without Him, we really are nothing. We're destined for an eternity. An eternity. Of being separated from everything and anything that is good. Can you guys imagine? Just think of good. Just think of anything that's good in your life. Anything that you thought in your life that was good. And imagine being separated from goodness. Because God is good. He's perfectly good. Being separated from the creator of good for an eternity. And that's the brokenness that he's saying. He's saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Understanding the kingdom of God, understanding what God is speaking to us, it starts from brokenness. And from that place of brokenness, we move up this ladder, but we don't forget about brokenness. We never stop being broken before the Lord. And as we continually find ourselves in the place of brokenness, God's going to start instilling in us kingdom. Kingdom, to be meek. You know what it is to be meek? It's not just to be humble, but it's like to know that you have power and authority, but you choose not to use it. You're meek. You know who you are, but you don't flaunt it. You're like, you're meek. Going to hunger and thirsting for righteousness. For everything that is good. Being merciful. Knowing that you can judge the world, but saying, you know what? I'm not going to. Being a peacemaker. To a place where you're being persecuted. And out of that persecution, you're able to rejoice. That's kingdom. That's what Jesus wants to see in us. He wants to see kingdom in you. Your righteousness was paid for by Him on the cross. You're completely, in the eyes of God, you're forgiven. But there's a cost to that. Is your sanctification. And that sanctification includes and is you being kingdom. For the kingdom of God. You know, I'm going to continue this series. I don't know how long it's going to be. I really feel like God's... You know, I've struggled with this. Because this is one of the struggles I had in the last couple of days. Is if I open this can of worms, it might go on for a long time. And I was like, oh God, I don't know. But then He kept on bringing me to it. I had a whole sermon prepped in my mind that I wanted to do. And then God was like, you took that book for a reason. And He's like, I had you read this book for a reason. And I was like, oh, but I'm going to do it. And God's called me to preach a series on the Sermon on the Mount. And the theme of it is the kingdom of God. God, Jesus is proclaiming, this is kingdom. This is what it looks like. You know, the disciples, when they heard this, they were like, oh, what's going on? This kind of talk is like, it's incredible. Because it was like radically different from what they were expecting. They were expecting like Jesus to become this ruler, the king of Israel, the Messiah to come and destroy and defeat the Roman oppressors. They even thought this all the way to the time when Jesus died, He resurrected. They still thought this in their mind. Because in Acts, they're like, oh, when are you gonna bring back the kingdom of Israel? Like they actually thought that God, Jesus was gonna come and raise like a earthly kingdom. But what does Jesus say? He says, my kingdom is not of this world. And He's saying, you know what? In my kingdom, if you want to go up, you gotta go down. In my kingdom, you have to be meek. And the disciples are expecting this. Dun, 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 dun. I'm the savior of Israel. You have to be a peacemaker. You have to be merciful. There's so much to unpack in this. But I want you guys to start off with a heart and understanding that God wants to establish you with the mindset of the kingdom. And there's so much to that. There's so much that God wants to lead you into. I know my sermon was kind of all over the place and everywhere. But I want to leave you with this. Kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit. That's where the kingdom comes together. That's where we're supposed to be. In the kingdom by what? By the power of the Holy Spirit. You guys are in the kingdom now. You guys are in Korea, in Busan, New Philly Church, you know, sitting here. But as you sit here, you guys are in the kingdom of God. Let's close our eyes. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your words. We thank you for the words you spoke, the teachings that you gave. And Lord, we thank you for the work that you did. And we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that as a generation, as a church, as a people, that when we look and when we see trials and when we see tribulation and when we see things being flipped upside down, that we will be a people of kingdom. That our mindset, our thinking, our understanding, our response will be of the kingdom of God. Help us to realize that we're citizens of the kingdom. That we are warriors for the kingdom. We're noblemen. We're citizens. We're people of the kingdom. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that we will continue to take our place. And Lord, as the weeks to come, I pray deep revelation and a deep understanding over this congregation of what it is to be kingdom people. What it is to live kingdom lives. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that it's not out of our ability or what we can do, but it all comes by the power of your Spirit and what your Spirit does in our lives, God. I pray that you will help us to yield to the Spirit. Help us to live lives yielded to the Spirit. That we will be led. That we will be drawn. And as the Spirit of God takes His place in our lives, we will find ourselves standing in the only one true kingdom that matters, which is yours. Lord, help us to be aware. Help us to be alert at this hour, God. Give us words to pray. Give us hearts of intercession. That your kingdom come and that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We bless your name. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.